Torah tells us in Parshas Tazria Mitzora that there's a notion of tzaras, that sometimes you'll find discoloration on a person's body or on a person's clothing or on the walls of a person's home. Sometimes you find discoloration, that's true. And then in a small percentage of cases, those discolorations qualify to be within the halakha category of a nega tzaras. There are rules for each. You have many, many, many psukim in Tazria Mitzora about this. And you have 14 prakim of Maseches Nagaim that talk first about, you know, how to figure out whether a discoloration is a nega, and then if it is a nega, what to do about it, and then what the nega goes away or diminishes. You know, under what circumstances and with what process could you emerge from the status and the tumah of tzaras? So that we know, there's something called nigei adam, something called nigei begadim, and something called nigei batim. And again, for each one, there are rules and regulations like any other area of halacha. What's the fun? Not every discoloration is tzaras. It has to be a particular color, different colors in different contexts. And skin, usually it needs to be within a certain range of white. Psukim say, a pasuk that was hopefully memorable even before it was strangely, curiously put to song, that some types of negaim, including negei batim, has to be rock o adamdam, has to be particular shades of green or red. And it has to, Mishnais have a lot to say. There's a parak at the end of the Masechta, but Nigei Batim. Does it have to be arranged a particular way? Can it be in the middle of the wall? Does it have to be on a corner? How big? All sorts of details. All the Pirtei Adinim. We're not going to get into the Pirtei Adinim now, because I, like any Erev Halacha, Masechta Zagam is beautiful. Tazria Mitzor, Masechta Zagam. Beautiful, rich. There's a lot to say about the structure some other time. One gets the impression that the first parak might be, some early svarim suggest that Zayin Makomen is a very, very ancient parak of Mishnayos. One gets the impression that perhaps the first parak of Adam also is a very, very ancient parak of Mishnayos, and then later and later, whatever it is, but there are dinim about size and about color and so on and so forth. And if, as the psukim say, that whenever you have a discoloration that we suspect might be a nega, two things have to happen in order for it to actually have the halachic status of a nega tzara, such that there's a tumah. The first is that it has to, the nega, the mitzias of the nega has to fit all the pirtei adinim, all the rules and regulations of color and size and so on and so forth. And then the other, that's necessary but not sufficient. If a person has a nega on his skin, a nega on his clothing, a nega on his house, and it mamash fits all the dinim, it's still not tumah yet. If it fits the parameters, and the Kohen comes by and says, Tameh, now it's Tameh. That's one of the uniquenesses of Tzaras, is that the status is only Chal with the pronouncement of the Kohen. It might not be the only error of Halacha, but it's one of the rare errors of Halacha. Usually, if I was playing catch in the backyard with my son, and I overshot his glove, and the ball instead goes through the next door neighbor's window. So I owe the next door neighbor money even before the Beis Din paskens. The etzim, I owe the next. I'm a adam azik. I owe the next door neighbor money. The Beis Din may tell me if I'm not willing to pay. If I'm not sure how much I have to pay, the Beis Din can tell me how much I have to pay. Or if Rachman Salam recalcitrant, I don't want to pay. You know, the neighbor may have to take me to Beis Din to force me to pay. But fundamentally, I owe the money, the excess, because I broke the window, even without the Beis Din saying so. But not that way. Again, unlike Nizkei Mamon, unlike most heirs of halacha, Nagam is one of those rare heirs of halacha where the pronouncement makes it bichal. It has to, again, on the other hand, if a Kohen goes over to someone, I'm a Kohen, I don't like you. So I walk over and say, your house is Tameh, your house has Tzaras. If there's no discoloration in your house, the fact that I said Tameh doesn't make it Tameh. The Tumah Tzaras is a combination of it's a composite of the two factors. But there actually is a nega that fits all the rules and regulations, the neg that fits all the period to Adinim, plus the Kohen says, Tamid. Why do I stress that? Because that's necessary to appreciate what's going on in Hulin Daf Yud Amid Beis, where the Gemara wonders, we're taking a look at the last 2 days at the Gemara Hulin Yud Alf Amid Aleph, the Makar for Rov. Here in Hulin Yud Amid Beis, the Makar for Chazaka, again, as we said yesterday, there's six different halakha concepts that can be referred to as Chazaka, but we mean, what we usually mean when we say Chazaka, which is Chazaka Dimei Tar, assuming that the last known status is still the case. Status quo ante, if you prefer terminology. Noah Milsa, smack in the human being. Noah Milsa, Morabana, Nuki Milsa, Chezke. Chazal tell us all over Shas. We're looking yesterday. It's a Mishnah, a triple Mishnah in our Mishnah, the Gittin Chav Chesnal. You follow Chazaka with respect to the capacity of a shliach to deliver a get, with respect to the capacity of a ishus kohen to eat truma, with respect to the capacity of a kohen to makriv a carbon chatas when the bala carbon is remote. In all those cases, you say the ishtal and the cheskas chai. The Hayna Yishtal and Chazak. I mean, all those are Barna Uki Milsachet. Again, the Mishnah is in Gittin, but it's all over Shas. Amr Shmuel Bar Nachmin, Rav Yonasan, Amr Kro. Pasuk says, V'yotza Koi Min Abayis Al Pesach Aboyis. The Yizkir is Abayis in As Yamin. The Pasuk says that the Koi, if we suspect a Saras Batim, you bring the Koi, and the Koi looks, the Koi examines the Nega. If the Nega doesn't fit the parameters of Hilfa's Negev Atim, so check, put it down. Tar, move on. And you may want to get a handyman to deal with whatever mold you have, whatever it is, but we're done with the Tumah situation. But if the Kohen sees that a Taka looks like a Nega Tameh, he does not say Tameh right away. The Pasuk says he leaves first. And then he declares a Tameh. So how does that work? Dilma Adinafik Va'asa Batsale Shira. But maybe by the time he was nothing, by the time he left, Vatsar Le Shur, the shear has diminished. It's no longer the right size to shrunk in and no longer fits the rules of Nagan. And obviously the Gemara is assuming that if a Kohen, as we said before, if a Kohen declares Tameh, but the Nega doesn't actually exist, you don't have a Nega that fits the rules, so then it doesn't become Tameh. It's not enough the coin said Tameh. He has to say Tameh, and there is actually a Nega that fits all the Pirtei Halacha. So how do I know there's a Nega that fits all the Pirtei Halacha? A minute ago, the coin was inside, he saw the Nega, it fit the parameters, it was the right cheer. But now he left, and now he said Tameh outside. Maybe it shrank. As an aside, by the way, why not say, well, that just proves rope. Mestama, it probably didn't shrink so quickly. What's that to do with Chazaka? I assume the answer is that there is no rope. Because Nagam Mamiraculous. It probably hasn't shrunken. Why? It miraculously appeared. It miraculously disappeared. There probably is no way to. I don't know if there are any statistics that we could give. This is all supernatural. So I don't know. It probably is still there. Why? Maybe it disappeared in a minute. It may have appeared over the course of 1 minute. It could disappear over the course of a minute. It could shrink. It could grow. I don't know. It's the old Nisim. I'll be cautious. That's a larger discussion. You get to Tazria Mitzorah. Is Metzias of Taras Anes or not? I think the simple way to read the Gemara. The Gemara says, maybe the same way it came, easy come, easy go. Maybe it's gone. So how does a Kohen declare a Tam? It must be Chazaka. I don't know whether it's Kashir now or not, but a minute ago, last time I checked, it was a Kashir. So Yishtal and Chazaka still a Shael, Abishum Darinan, Uki Acheske, Yishtal and Chazaka. Now the Gemara works on some technical detail questions. But ultimately, this will be the enduring answer. The enduring mucker for Chazak Nekor is Taraz Bat. Let's see a little more than Gemara. Maslow of Acha by Yaakov. Acha Yaakov had a kashim his sorrow. Who says he can't see? It's true he walked out of the door. He walks out backwards. Okay, so he walked out of the house, but he's still looking. If I walk out this door, I can still see the knapsack, the black knapsack over there. I walked out the door and I look back. What's the big deal? The Gemara says no. Number one, you're not supposed to walk. If Yatzak on advice, Yitzia Derech Hachor Vloshma Yitzia. Yitzia means you're walking out normally. That comes up in Yuma also. And the Gemara says, and anyhow, if I walk out the door, so I can still see that knapsack, but I can't see this safety sign. If I walk out the door, I can see part of the house, or the part that's opposite the door, but I can't see this wall that's right next to the door.
As the Gemara says, what are you going to do? The Achori Adela is Maya Kilamemer. The area that's behind the door, you're not going to be able to see once you walk out. Maybe you cracked open a new window. If he came with the pasuk bekavsa, okay. If the neck is over here, so I'll drill a hole. No, that you cannot do either. But tonight, Mishnah Nagayim, when the Mishnah is talk about one of the areas of Hilchas Nagayim, is as mentioned before, one of the criteria is the right color. So one of the issues the Mishnah is raised is under what conditions do you observe and determine the color. Because if you've ever gone shopping for light bulbs, every light bulb, especially the new ones, they all advertise the fact that they will give you a better sense of color. And if you try to match, give a more mundane but very important example, try and match a tie to a suit. Like you had bought a suit, now you're shopping for ties. So colors look different under different lighting. So it may look one way under fluorescence, or under LEDs, it'll look different under incandescent bulb, but it'll look totally different in the sunlight. And if you have certain ranges of colors of suits, like, you know, inside it looks gray, outside it has like a little bit of like a greenish tinge, or vice versa. The colors sometimes look different under different lighting. So the Mishnayos discuss, you know, what lighting do I use? I have to figure out if this nega is this type of green or that type of green, this type of red or that type of red. So under what lighting do I make that assessment? So the Mishnah says, whatever the lighting of the house has been up until now. Mishnah says, bayis afel, you have a dark house, meaning you have a house that was built with very few windows, so lighting was often expensive, gas, you know, oil, whatever was expensive. So this is going to be a darker house, you don't have so much natural light. Same post of Ohalonos. If it's a naturally dark house, you're not allowed, and then a nega appears, you cannot subsequently build in more windows and look at it under that light. You have to look at it the way it was, with the number of windows in the room that you had when the nega appeared. You're not allowed to break open new windows. So how are you going to look? Why do we mention that? Because I yelled them and I buy it. Let's say the nega is over here where Ben is sitting. So he walks out the door. He can't see that corner anymore. So Elamai. Obviously, says the Gemara. So how does the coin say Tama? The answer is Chazaka. So that's the Makar. A Makar and Psukim, I would not necessarily have known on my own. They should tell him Chazaka. But Xeris Akasa, the Torah is Magal to me in Parashas Metzorah. Next time someone asks you, what halakha lamaisa did you learn from Parashas Metzorah? A number of things halakha lamaisa in Parashas Metzorah. But maybe the most common one is the principle of Chazak de Meikara. It comes up all over Shas, and it is improbably in the Parshas of Zohar. Divrei Torah, Nid Makamecha, Shir Makamecher. That's where it is. So the question is, okay, so let's try to understand this. The Torah is Megalatim Yechidish, Rishtel and Chazak. But with that, let's bring that back to what we began to explore here in Gittin, the third Perek, yesterday, the end of Shir, we began to look at one of the Makoros in Chazal, for Chazaka, a Mishnah, is it appears three times in one Mishnah here in Chavches Amaral. So let's look here and try to begin to understand the nature of the Zer Sakasav in Chulun Dav Yud of Chazaka and Meikar. Let's try to understand the nature of that Zer Sakasav. Because again, we have a Mishnah. Let's again see just the first of the three cases in the Mishnah. And maybe get the Nicho Zaki and Ocholah. The fellow is elderly, a fellow is ill, and he's remote. He's in one city, his wife is in a different city, and he's not sure
He's not sure that he's going to survive to see her again. And he doesn't want to, as we were saying yesterday, he doesn't want to pass away still married to his wife, because then his wife will becomes the queen. If he has no living descendants, but he does leave behind a brother, his wife will be Zakuka Yibum. She won't be able to remarry anyone else until she gets Chalitza from the brother. And Hakamai Eskinan, it's a scenario where that would be challenging. The brother, a difficult person, the brother lives very far away, whatever it is. So he wants to send his wife a get that she should receive and be divorced, and he passes away, leaving her a grusha rather than an almana, and she's able to move on with her life without having to grapple with the yavam. So maybe get benicho zaken ochola. So a shliach now arrives in the town of the wife, with a get in hand. Last time he saw the husband was alive, but not in great shape. No same of a chesed shulkayim. So the Mishnah says he does give the wife the get on the assumption that the husband is still alive. The husband has already passed away, and the get is not valid. She's not married, but she's an almana rather than a grusha. In this case, she might be a zakuka leva. But no, you give her the get. We assume the get is valid. Why? Because the husband has a chezkas chai. So the Gemara raises a question. Just move down a couple of lines. The Gemara talks about a kasha that Abaye raised. Oftentimes, you don't know who raised the kasha. Here we know who raised the kasha. Who listened to the kasha? And we can follow the provenance of who's giving which text. So Rami, around it's eight ten lines into the Gemara, Chav Ches Amin Aleph and Gittin, Rami le Abaye le Rabba. Abaye asked Rabba if his Rebbe was Rabba. Abaye asks him, Tanami, here we have our Mishnah, maybe get the Nihuzak and Ochole, and Osei no the Cheska Shukayam. Cheska Schai. Iger Aminu, Abai says, but I found a Tosefta that's a steer to this Mishnah. It's the Sun Tosefta, the end of Perek Dalav of Gittin. You look in the back, it's Perek Dalav of the Yud. I raise the Gita, and there it appears with slightly different wording, which is why, if you look in the Soros HaShas here, it says, Tosefta So Perek Dalav Ayin Shin stands for Ayin Chum. When the Soros HaShas says Ayin Chum, that means look there, you'll see it's a little different. Sometimes it means it's a kasha, sometimes it just means the language is a little different. It's not an exact quote, but clearly this is what it is, but you'll see some fine differences. And indeed, you'll see holeich, or maybe halach. Halach yitech. Here the language is harezeg yitech. Harezeg yitech, shahar has kodon l'misasa. The Tosefta again, here, Mesach has gittin, paragdala, b'yud. The fellow says to his wife, here's your get. It should be chal, shahar has kodon l'misasa. An hour before he passes away. What does that mean? This is something you find in Kiddushin and Gittin, and in other Kinyanim as well, that one of the features of Kinyanim, both Kinyanei Ishus, Kinyanei Isa V'Heter, like Gittin Kiddushin, as well as Kinyanei Mamun, that when I set up a Kinyan, I can make it tonight, as you know, and that's Mishnayis in Gittin Kiddushin, many, many Mishnayis in Gittin Kiddushin. I could also, that's where I make a contingent, it may or may not happen, depends on, you know, the get may or may not be valid depending on what happens in the future. Or I could specify a time. I could make the kinyan be chala achar zman. Here's a kesef of kiddushin, we should be married tomorrow. Here's a get, should be divorced, should be chal tomorrow. One can do that. You know, usually do that, but it is something one can do. Here, the husband isn't saying arithmetically that should be chal in an hour from now, a day from now, 5 days from now. So he's doing it algebraically. He says it should be chal in the future when? An hour before I die. X minus one. I don't know when I die. Well, why is he doing this? Not to give his wife a hard time. Adraba. He loves his wife. Again, he's going to get shchimera. He loves his wife. He wants to be married to her while he's alive, but he wants to die divorced because he doesn't want his wife to become a zakuka leibum. He's here. He's right here. But he doesn't know. He doesn't know Masa Yomos. So he doesn't want to divorce her now. Maybe he'll live for another 10 years. He doesn't want to divorce her in a month from now. Maybe he will have died before then. So what does he say? It should be called an hour before I pass away. Shah Achas. A defined chunk of time before I pass away. So he thinks he's doing the two of them a favor.
He thinks Gevalik. So we'll be married. And then an hour before he passes away, they'll be divorced. Sure. So we live married. He passes away divorced. Gevalik. The problem is Tosefta says, Asur lecha betrum miyad. She's immediately a Suffolk Megureshus. Because at every moment, well, maybe she will have already died. Maybe he will have died, you know, in less than an hour from now. So at 10 o'clock in the morning, is she are they married or divorced? We don't know. And when 11 o'clock rolls around and he's still alive, we say, oh, now we know that at 10 o'clock they were married. But in the moment, you never know. Maybe if he dies within an hour from now, they're ready to divorce now because they get his chal, X minus 1. They get his chal an hour before he dies. So Tosefta says, she's immediately a safek migereshes. The nafkamina that the Mishnah gives is for truma. Let's say he's a kohen, she's not a bas kohen. Growing up, a single girl, she could not eat truma. When she married her husband, the kohen, she became a eshes kohen with tarasachal the truma. But if the husband passes away and they leave him behind no children, so then when she dies, the psukim say, then she goes back to levei savia, she's no longer permitted to eat truma. The question is she married or not? I don't know. He gave her a get. Was it a chal yet? I don't know. If he's going to die within an hour from now, it turns out she's already megureshes now. Asura lecha betruma. If he will not die within an hour from now, they're still married. Muteras lecha betruma. What's the case right now? I don't know. Safek. The Mishnah says, Safek draisa lechavra. Asura lecha betruma. It says draisa. The Tosefta says, Asura lecha betruma. Abaye said to Rabba, Rebbe, I don't understand. The Mishnah says, Cheskes chai. The Tosefta says, no cheskes chai. The Gemara is a shock of the Tariya, back and forth. Maybe truma is different than get, but no, the Mishnah talks about truma too. Back and forth and back and forth. Abaye thinks the name is machlokes at tanan. And finally, Rabba says, at the bottom, the mamash the last two words of cheskes chai, I'll go into cheskes chai. Rabba Omar, Shema meis lo chayshinan, Shema yamos chayshinan. Rabba says, the two cases are not the same. It's not a machlokas. The same Tanakh could say both of them. It's true that our Mishnah here in Chalchez is megalotah as the idea of chazak neikara, but chazak neikara doesn't work in the Tosefta. The Shalach has called the Moso. Why not? Because Rabba says, and we looked up, we found the Yerushalmi here in Gittin Gimel Gimel also quotes this Tosefta, as we found by looking up the Tosefta in the back. It's Bishmuel Spence Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi seems to give the same answer, very, very, very brief, Kederach of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi seems to give, just give Rava's answer, not in his name, but the way Rashi explains it, of course we follow Chazaka. Chazaka tells me he's still alive. That's what the Mishnah said. Right? Chazaka tells me, at last I saw him a month ago, he was alive. I assume he's still alive now, so I can bring his carbon chatzis now. And his wife can eat truma now. And his wife can receive his get now. Because we assume that if yesterday he was alive, we assume he's still alive today. If last month he was alive, we assume he's still alive today. Chazak can tell me about the present. But, Rava says, the Tosefta is teaching me a limitation on Chazaka. Chazaka cannot tell me about the future. Chazaka can tell me if that's what it was yesterday, I assume that's what it is now. Yes. But Chazaka does not tell me that he's alive now, assume that he will be alive in an hour from now. Now that sounds like a Chazaka too. If he's alive and well, not well, as the case may be, he's alive. So Becheska said in an hour from now, he will be alive. And therefore, why not, Abaye had asked, why not assume that right now she's not Migureshus? Because Chazaka tells me that he will be alive an hour from now. Says Rabba, no. Chazaka cannot predict the future. Chazaka can only help me make presumptions about the present, but not to make presumptions about the future. Yeah.
If it's a dynasty, almost a difference if it's an hour ahead or an hour behind you. Like, why does it matter if it's a year, an hour ahead?
What do you mean? You mean the Tosefta?
Yeah.
Well, the Tosefta, he's here. The Mishnah's case, just to get clear about the cases, the Mishnah's case was a regular normal get. It's going to be chal, no shtiklach. The get will be chal the moment that she gets it, just that the husband isn't here. So is he alive right now or not? I don't know. Because why? Usually you do know, but if the husband's far away, we don't know if he's alive. And that was the Mishnah's case. The way that case was structured, the relevant Metzias question is the husband alive right now or not? The Tosefta is talking about a different case, where the way the case is structured, the relevant question is he alive right now or not? The relevant question is, will he be alive an hour from now? Right? Is he alive right now? I know he's alive right now. He's right here. He's not been in this Hayyam. But the issue is, so if he would give a normal get, okay, he's here, here's a get, done. So that's what the chap of the Tosefta is, that he gave a get that's going to be chal an hour before he passes away. So now the question is, when was the chal? I see he's here now, but I need to know, will he be alive an hour from now or not? If he will be alive an hour from now, then she is not yet in the gereshes. If he will not be alive an hour from now, then she is already in the gereshes. What's the case? What's the story? I don't know. We'll know in the future. We don't know now if it'll be alive in the future. That's why this case is structured differently. So Rava says, why is it the Mishnah uses Chazaka that Tosefta doesn't? Says Rava, because Chazaka has a limitation. Chazaka can tell me about the present. Chazaka can tell me what to presume about now, but Chazaka cannot tell me what to presume about the future. But that's not, here's this is important. Rava's giving a chiluk. He said, you had a stira, the Mishnah uses Chazaka, Cheskes Chai, the Tosefta does not use Cheskes Chai. Oh, I'll tell you what the Teretz is. Here it's about predicting, here it's about predicting the future, here it's about presumptions about the present. That's a chiluk, that's a description. And again, the way we said based on Rashi, the Shema Meis, Shema Yama, we're not worried that maybe he's dead, but we are worried maybe we'll die. But that has to do with talking about the present versus talking about the future. That's describing it using Lamdish terminology. But it doesn't explain why it's true. We still need a Hezbo. Why? Why does this Chiluk matter? I understand. It's true that we learn Chazaka de Meik, Chazaka de Meikar Zachidish, the Gzeres HaKasav, we learn, as we said before, we learn it from Taras Batin, Parshas Mitzorah, the Chulun Dafyot, that's true. And that case is about the present. Right? The coin walks out, so is there a nega right now or not? Did it shrink over the last minute or is it still there now? Okay. So that case of Chazak is about the present. But why shouldn't I extend it to the future? After all, that case is also only about Kohen. Can only Kohen have a Chazaka? No, you don't have to be a Kohen to have a Chazaka. That case was a case of a Kohen. No, that's an irrelevant detail. That case is about Tzaraas. Maybe the only Chazaka by Tzaraas? No. We understand that this is a broader halachic principle. Taras is an example. And the Kohen is an example. And it doesn't have to be an area of halacha that starts with a tzadi. It doesn't have to be an area of halacha where color is relevant, where size is relevant. It doesn't have to be an area of halacha that's discussed in Chumash Vayikra. Those are all irrelevant details, irrelevant to Chazaka. That's an example. We broaden, that's how drushas work. So why not also say that whether it's about the present or the future is also an irrelevant detail? Why is the chil between the present and the future more relevant than the chil between a Kohen and Yisrael? So it needs Hezber. The Gemara said, Rashi said, that it's predicting predicting the future you can't do, but talk presumptions about the present you can't do. But why? So the Svara, it's hard, number one. Some of us told us during the Seder this morning. The Gemara gives the chiluk, but the Svara, I don't understand why it should be true. Plus, not only the Svara do I struggle, but I can even show you that it's another principle of halacha that does not have this limitation. Rove. And then that's just 4 or 5 lot later, also in Gittin. So the next parak, parak Dalet, parak HaShaleach, Lama Gimel, Lama Dalet, Tosas, Dimas Lebafkinu, in the Maram Kamas in the small fund, Tosis assumes that a rove can predict the future. I don't want to get too heavily involved. In the case here, it'll get us sidetracked. But suffice it to say that the Gemara mentions that there is a scenario where a husband makes this particular decision about how he's handling the get. So if he presses that button, that activates a retroactive dissolution of his marriage. If a husband does something with a shliach haget, he he appoints a shliach and then he's mevatel him shlo b'fanav without whatever the details are. There is a unfortunate, inappropriate behavior the husband could do to make a shliach and then cancel him. If he does that, Chazal say retroactively we pull the plug of your marriage. You were never married to begin with. How that works is a good question. Not for now. That will take us back to Elzman and Akira's Davin Torah. But suffice it to say, for our purposes, there is such a possibility. A husband could choose to do something with a shliach haget, and that will activate the retroactive, they were never married to begin with. So Tosa says, and this is very rare, husbands usually don't, the man of the get, the man of the shliach, cancel the shliach. Okay. The get, Tosa's raised the question, I understand. So how do you ever, let's say a woman is a couple. Reuven and Leah got to get married. And then Leah has an affair with Shimon. Rachmal Atzlan. Niyuf. Gilei Arayos. Yehari Valyava. Horrific, horrific. They make, Leah and Shimon make a terrible, horrific, despicable decision. They have an affair. She's married to Reuven. She's been intimate with Shimon. And the Edom walk in and say, what are you doing? And this is Chiyav Misa. Say, we don't care. Love is love. We don't care. We love each other. That's it. And they say, this is new. Number one, obviously, this situation requires a lot of help. A lot of people here need a lot of support. And maybe we can salvage things. They said, no. They want to violate new. So, Chai Misa. So Leah and Shimon are Chai Misa. Shrek Tai says, I understand. How are Leah and Shimon Chai Misa? What type of hastra was that? And maybe they're not married. Maybe she's not married to Reuven. Well, I mean, she's married to Reuven. No! But maybe Reuven will subsequently do something that will be mafkir the kiddushin retroactively. They were never married to begin with. See, if he doesn't do it, isn't the Hasra a suffix? When the Edom gave Hasra to Leah and Shimon, that what they didn't know for sure that she's an Eshes Ish. Maybe we'll find out in a week from now that retroactively she was never married to Reuven to begin with. Got that? The Tosa says no. The dominant territory, the second territory also, more complicated territory. The Tosa's dominant territory is Rov. What? When the Edom say to Leah and Shimon, what are you doing? Leah is a married woman. This is adultery. Come on, son, what's going on here? You can't do that. That's Niyav, you'll be Chayav Misa. They can say that because most probably Reuven will not be Mafkir Kedushin. In theory, he could, but the Rov is he's not going to do that. He will not behave in the future in a way that will activate Hafkarat Kiddush. So it says. In other words, right now, when the Edim discover Leah and Shimon, and they're giving Hasra, it's a Vadai, it's not a Safek. Why? Because we have a robe now. What's the robe? The robe will tell me about the future. The robe will tell me what won't happen next week. So robe does predict the future. Tosas Lama Gemaral. The Chazaka does not predict the future. What's going on? Bechlal, we understand what Chazaka. Why is the future different than the present? If I assume that what happened, you know, the status yesterday is still true today, why not assume the status yesterday or today is going to be true tomorrow? Bisvara, why should you differentiate? And Rove does predict the future, and that brings us to in the next couple of minutes. So another interesting, a second interesting context for Chazaka. One interesting point is Chazaka doesn't predict the future. And which is in of itself, again, hard to understand, and indicates that Chazaka is weaker than Rove. A second context, moving from Maseches Gittin to Maseches Kiddushin, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Pei Amud Aleph, asks, what happens when directly Rov and Chazaka are in conflict? What happens when you come back to the kitchen and the baby got to the chocolate chip cookie dough and the Rov is that the cookie dough is now tummy? Because the kid is probably tummy. Because back in the old days, kids used to find dead mice around the house, and a dead mouse is a
Sheretz, which is an Ava Tumah, so a kid finds a dead mouse and touches it, now the kid's a Rishon Tumah, he put his hand in the cookie dough bowl, now the cookie dough is a Shein L'Tumah. Okay. On the other hand, I don't know for sure that he's Tameh, so maybe the dough is still Tahar, maybe he's Tahar, maybe the dough is Tahar, and 5 minutes ago, before I left the kitchen, the dough was Tahar. We were making the cookie dough B'Tahara. 5 minutes ago, the dough was Tahar. Now, it's not clear if it's still Tahar or not. Rov says it's Tameh. Chazaka says it's Tahar. Which one wins? So we're going to discover, that's Machlokas Remei and the Chachamim, and then we paskin that Rov wins. So now we have two indicators that Rov is stronger than Chazaka. A sugya, direct sugya in Kiddushin Arkei, and the comparison in our Masechta and Gittin of future prediction. Tomorrow we'll see, on the other hand, Chazaka is remarkably powerful in its third context, and that will hopefully break this all open.